The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is That's a Laugh. For the next half hour, I'll be reading excerpts of funny stories, quotes, and other anecdotes from various sources that we hope will add a few chuckles to your day. Sarcasm is not an attitude, it is an art. Unknown author. Sarcasm helps me overcome the harshness of the reality we live, eases the pain of scars, and makes people smile. Mahmoud Darwish. It's all fun and games until someone doesn't pick up on the sarcasm. Unknown author. My dear listeners, as these quotes found on the Reader's Digest website, rd.com, indicate, we are all about sarcasm in this TAL episode. ICYMI, National Sarcastic Awareness Month, also known as National Sarcasm Month, takes place in October of every year. To get us started, in honor of the month, our featured author provides an over-the-top and entirely ironic take on leadership. Today's stories are from the book, How to Be a Bad Manager, A Satirical Guide to Leadership Failures, written by Gonzalo I. Figueroa, copyright 2024. Before we dive into the book, a few notes from the author. Warning: this book offers an unconventional take on leadership, designed to challenge your perceptions and highlight opportunities for growth, particularly when leading teams. I've intentionally employed humor, sarcasm, and reverse psychology to provide a fresh perspective on leadership principles. My goal is to provoke an emotional reaction to the exaggerated negative advice presented here. Please note, all recommendations in this book are extreme examples of poor leadership. The tone and voice represent an imaginary persona from a parallel universe, someone who follows every piece of advice that true leadership should strictly avoid. While this book is entirely fictional, you may recognize traits within it that appear disturbingly real. This work is not based on any specific individual, but draws from a collection of experiences and observations of those in or aspiring to leadership roles. The lessons here are a blend of my own experiences, both mistakes and insights, crafted into this provocative satire. How to use this book. Use this book as a tool for introspection. If you find any patterns that resonate with your own behavior, consider why you align with those ideas and use this insight to refine your approach. Leadership is a continuous journey of learning and growth, and it's crucial to forgive yourself for past errors. Embrace the process of evolution. It's what defines effective leadership. I hope this book provides both relief and valuable perspective on the challenges of being a great leader. With that said, and starting from the next page, prepare yourself to explore an alternate reality of leadership, one I trust you'll never need to enact. Safe travels, Gonzalo Figueroa. Okay, now that we are super duper extra special clear on the fact that this is a satirical book, let's dive in on how not to be a manager. dedication. To those of us who have transcended the ordinary and ascended to heights reserved for the divine, this book is for the select few who dwell among the elite. Introduction. We've all been there, great managers at the pinnacle of leadership. If you haven't reached that point, then frankly, this book isn't for you. But for those of us who have ascended to heights mere mortals could never comprehend, leadership is no longer a challenge. Some of us, however, have gone even further, transcending beyond the realm of ordinary management to a level where everything around us seems trivial and, frankly, beneath us. At this point, your brilliance can seem incomprehensible to those mere mortals reporting to you. It's tough, really, being so exceptional that the world around you feels like a collection of pitiful problems that barely deserve your attention. But don't worry. We created this book to gently pull you down to the mortal realm, temporarily, of course, so that your loyal subjects can at least attempt to admire your magnificence in a way their fragile minds can process. This guide offers a fleeting chance for your followers to glimpse your leadership greatness, giving them the rare opportunity to solidify their adoration for you. By following the simple steps in this book, you'll be able to briefly masquerade as a human again. But fear not, this return to the island of the ordinary is just temporary. We know majestic beings like yourself are never content in the human realm for long. And, let's be honest, you probably didn't even need this guide. You've already mastered every nuance of leadership, and your very presence commands reverence. However, for those newer to these divine heights, or those slightly less gifted, this book will serve as a handy companion on their journey down to earth. It will also give the less fortunate in leadership a chance to appreciate you even more. We've structured this divine companion into several lessons. Each lesson offers a brief description, probably irrelevant given your all-encompassing wisdom, along with examples of how to issue commands to your minions. You're welcome to improve on these examples, though naturally, perfection is difficult to improve upon. As an added bonus, at the end of each chapter, you'll find a quiz to affirm your already flawless knowledge. And because we know efficiency is key to managing your time amongst mere mortals, we've added a final checklist to ensure that you can quickly and easily apply these lessons to your subordinates. Consider it our gift to you, a token of appreciation for gracing us with your excellence. If your followers don't adore you by the end of this book, it's because they lack the awareness to recognize greatness. You're already far beyond others in leadership, and if they can't appreciate your brilliance and undeniable magnificence, that's their shortcoming, not yours. Chapter 1. Appreciation is overrated. Imagine this. You stroll into the office one morning, only to discover that your team has been working around the clock, pulling late nights and sacrificing weekends to deliver a project under an absurdly impossible deadline. Now, a normal person, driven by empathy and human decency, might feel inclined to show some form of appreciation, perhaps a simple thank you, or even an acknowledgement of their efforts. But let's be real. That would be a grave mistake. Why, you ask? Because your employees aren't working late because they care about the project. No, no. They're working late because they want something from you. They're trying to win your favor. And frankly, there's no reason for you to feed into that. Acknowledging their effort, praising their hard work, that's just playing into their manipulative little hands. After all, it's their job to get the project done, right? So why should you ever thank someone for doing what they're supposed to do? Gratitude? Appreciation? Please, those are clearly signs of weakness. The moment you start offering praise, you open the floodgates to a barrage of emotional needs. Validation, recognition, maybe even requests for work-life balance. What a slippery slope that would be. And let's not forget the most important fact. Emotions are distractions. The minute your team starts to feel appreciated, they start getting comfortable. And when they're comfortable, they're not efficient. We can't have that. In fact, offering compliments or support is more than a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. Think about it. All those kind words, all that emotional investment, just flying out of your mouth, reducing your own efficiency while feeding theirs. It's practically counterproductive. Compliments are built on emotions, and as everyone knows, emotions are an absolute efficiency killer. The bottom line, you shouldn't care at all. Not about the long hours, not about the weekends, not about them. If they can't handle that level of indifference, maybe they're in the wrong place. In fact, they're probably a threat to your team's morale, spreading their need for recognition like a virus. Best to let them go. You don't need fragile, emotional followers. What you need are emotionless machines, loyal drones programmed to perform without the unnecessary hindrance of feelings. But don't despair. There's hope on the horizon. Thanks to the wonders of artificial intelligence, we're almost at the point where human appreciation will no longer be necessary. Soon enough, machines will take over, allowing you to bypass all those trivial human emotions altogether. Imagine the productivity spike when you don't have to say good job to anyone ever again. Of course, while we wait for this glorious AI-driven future to unfold, you still have to manage your pesky human team. Fear not, we've got you covered. Let's dive into a case study to examine the precise behaviors and guidelines that will help you whip your team into peak efficiency. No need for compliments here, just pure, result-driven leadership. Steps for maximum effectiveness on public discipline. 1. Make a scene. If you're in an open office, begin by clearing your throat loudly. You want to draw as much attention as possible. In a meeting? Perfect. Wait until the majority of the team is present, or better yet, call in extra attendees just for this special occasion. The more witnesses, the better. 2. Deploy sarcasm. Once you've captured the room's attention, fire off some sarcastic commentary. Something like, "Oh, employee's name, I wasn't aware you were promoted and given a new schedule." Add in a dramatic yawn for flair. Nothing sets the tone like passive-aggressive sarcasm in front of peers. 3. Reinforce the rules. Loudly and clearly, remind everyone of the expected start time and re-emphasize the sheer magnitude of 5 minutes. For example, the last I checked, we start work at 8 a.m. I don't notice anyone else waltzing in as late as you do. Be sure to raise your voice slightly to drive the point home. 4. Don't allow interruptions. Under no circumstances should you let the employee speak or defend themselves. You are delivering this monologue, and they have no right to disrupt it. You are the authority here, and interruptions would only dilute the message. 5. Issue a fair punishment. Cap off the public rebuke with a suitable punishment. For example, to remind you of the value of time, I expect you to arrive at least 15 minutes early tomorrow, 5 minutes to make up for today, and an extra 10 just to drive the point home. After all, you didn't seem to think 5 minutes mattered, so surely 10 won't either. 6. Exit with style. Once the punishment is delivered, turn your back and walk away. If the employee tries to respond, simply raise your hand in the universal sign for stop and tap your wristwatch if you're wearing one. This ensures they know the conversation and their time are officially up. Case study: Diana's 5-minute crime. Summary: Diana, a dedicated employee, had spent the entire weekend working on a high-stakes project. She arrived at the office 5 minutes late on Monday morning, assuming her weekend efforts would earn her some leniency. Unfortunately for her, leniency was not on the agenda. Public discipline was. In this case study, we examine the calculated approach to publicly reprimanding an employee in front of their peers to create a lasting impact. Objective: the aim of this case study is to demonstrate how to maximize the impact of disciplining an employee by using public embarrassment as a tool. The goal is to not only discipline Diana, but also send a message to the entire team about the importance of punctuality. The steps outlined next ensure that the lesson sticks with Diana and serves as a cautionary tale for others. It's Monday morning. The office hums with the usual sounds of keyboards clicking and phones ringing. Everyone is already seated, except for one person. Diana. Just 5 minutes late, Diana walks in, still groggy from the weekend marathon of work that stretched well into Sunday evening. She spots a few glances her way, but assumes they'll understand. After all, she gave up her weekend to meet a deadline, and that had to count for something. Right? Wrong. Her manager, always keen on timing, takes this as an opportunity. Standing up in the middle of the open office, they clear their throat, a sound like thunder cutting through the soft hum of the office. The room falls silence, all eyes focusing on Diana. "Ah, Diana," the manager says with a smirk. "I wasn't aware that weekend overtime came with a new start time on Monday. Did you get a promotion I wasn't informed about? Must be nice." The sarcasm hits hard. Diana feels her face flush. The manager yawns dramatically for added effect. Everyone's watching, and Diana feels smaller with each passing second. The manager continues, eyes narrowing, voice growing louder and louder. "Last I checked, work starts at 8 a.m., not 8:05, not 8:01, 8 on the dot. Yet here you are, strolling in like time is just a suggestion. Funny thing is, no one else came in late, and none of them are as behind schedule as you. Diana opens her mouth, ready to explain, to defend herself, but the manager raises a hand, silencing her. No, no interruptions. I'm speaking here. Diana closes her mouth and looks down at her shoes. She feels the weight of the entire room staring at her, silently judging. Let's be clear, the manager says, turning to address the entire team. We all work here, and 5 minutes may seem like nothing, but it's a slippery slope. So, to make sure we all understand the value of time, Diana will be coming in 15 minutes early tomorrow, 5 minutes to make up for today, and an extra 10 just to drive the point home. It's only fair, right? There's no room for discussion, and as the final words land, the manager turns and walks away without waiting for a response. Diana remains rooted to the spot, the humiliation burning into her cheeks. The lesson was loud and clear for everyone. No matter the circumstances, punctuality is absolutely non-negotiable. Conclusion. Public humiliation, when wielded correctly, can be an incredibly effective tool in a leader's arsenal. In Diana's case, the 5-minute tardiness became the perfect opportunity to showcase how minor infractions are dealt with in the company. The entire team got the message, loud and clear, and will think twice before being even a minute late. Public discipline not only serves to correct one person's behavior, but also reinforces authority and sets a precedent that rules will be upheld, no matter the context. Congratulations! You've just mastered the art of public discipline. By following these steps, you've sent a clear message to your team that punctuality is non-negotiable, no matter how much someone works outside of regular hours. You've also demonstrated that appreciation and empathy have no place in an environment focused solely on results. Now that we've covered the fundamentals of appreciation, or lack thereof, it's time for you to put these principles into practice. Take your quiz and find how well you can handle similar situations. Quiz: Mastering the Art of Appreciation. 1. An employee worked all night to deliver on time. What would you do? A. Congratulate the employee and give them a day off. B. Ignore the comment and question why the delivery was still late. C. Immediately assign the employee another urgent task, preferably with an even tighter deadline. D. B and C. E. None of the above, because acknowledgement is unnecessary. Correct answer, D. Why celebrate hard work when you can just remind them of the next urgent task? Or better yet, make them justify why their late-night efforts weren't quite enough. 2. Your closest friend at work arrives 20 minutes late. What would you do? A. Casually stroll over, chat about the weekend, and completely ignore the tardiness. B. Follow the public humiliation script and scold them, just like anyone else who isn't your best buddy. C. Assign them an immediate task with an impossible deadline, because friendship shouldn't never interfere with deadlines. D. Take them and the whole team out for lunch, then generously cover the cost of your friend's meal. E, A, and D. Correct answer, E. Why treat your friend any differently? By all means, ignore their lateness and then reward them with a team outing, just to show that leadership is all about fairness. 3. An employee arrives 7 minutes late and blames their kids, citing illness or oversleeping. What would you do? A. Explain loudly, for all to hear, that alarm clocks and nannies exist for a reason. Then demand they arrive 21 minutes early the next day to make up for the inconvenience. B. Announce to the office that these 7 minutes have derailed the entire team's productivity. Let them know they're expected to do better, or else. C. Compassionately let it slide, because, after all, it's the kid's fault, right? D. Remind the employee that having children wasn't the company's decision. Advise them to rethink life choices and insist they arrive 7 minutes early tomorrow to correct their mistake. Correct answer? A. While D would have seemed to be a perfect answer, D did not include the restriction on extending the punishment. It was only required to provide the same amount of time that was stolen from the company, and that, as we reviewed before, is not a fair punishment. Therefore, the correct answer was A. Remember, personal responsibilities shouldn't interfere with work. After all, the company didn't make the decision to have kids. Why should they pay the price? Set expectations loudly and clearly for maximum effect. Congratulations! You're well on your way to becoming a master of mortal leadership, ensuring efficiency through sarcasm and strategic public discipline. Remember, appreciation and empathy are overrated. Results are what count. We've run out of time for today's episode of That's a Laugh. We hope you've enjoyed it. Please be sure to listen next time. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. That's a Laugh is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Are you enjoying the show? Do you have any humorous quotes or authors you'd like to share? We'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions or comments about this or any other NCRS shows, please call us at 919-832-5138. Our number, one more time, is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.